We're in the money. We've got a lot of what it takes to get along. We're in the money. The skies are sunny. Old man depression, you are through. You done us wrong.
Longtime readers, listeners, as well as clients already know how I feel about the current U.S. stock market bull. For example, the average sales growth for companies in the Dow is flat, actually negative, negative 0.7% in 2013. But the fundamentals do not matter right now, and that's okay. Pending home sales have dropped for 5 straight months, and mortgage applications have declined for 5 consecutive weeks, placing the real estate recovery under a microscope. And that's okay too. Meanwhile, investment advisor bearish sentiment, a well-tracked contrarian indicator, has plunged to its lowest level in a quarter century. Just 14% of advisors are, quote, bearish. And you know what? That's fine as well. In other words, as long as the investment community believes that Federal Reserve maneuvers will benefit risk-taking in stocks, it is sensible to participate. And if it ever becomes less sensible, you will know because the current uptrend will become a downtrend. You would see a major benchmark like the S&P or the Dow fall below the 200-day trend line, and you would be able to reduce your exposure. On the other hand, let me present a hypothetical scenario whereby the Dow at 16,000 rises to 20,000 over the next 12 to 24 months. You're hearing a whole lot of Dow 20,000 chatter, and truthfully, it's a reasonable projection. But if those 25% price gains occur over the next year or two, even the most strident bulls would recognize the historical probability of a stock bear shortly thereafter. Why? Because you'd now be talking about 6 to 7 years of stock upward movement, which is far longer than the average 4-year stock bull. In essence, these 25% hypothetical gains from today would be wiped out in a buy and holder's account if a 20% bear came to the picnic table. And with the average bearish erosion of principal actually closer to 30% losses, a Dow Industrials that reaches 20,000 from today is more likely to hit 14,000 before it sees 24,000. The point here is not to discourage ETF investors from participating in this Federal Reserve-fueled rally. The point is to drill home the notion that, at this point in the cycle, you cannot afford to buy and hold your stock assets. Fortunately, as I said, there are a number of simple ways to determine whether it is time to lighten up. You might bolster your cash levels if the price of the Spider S&P 500 Trust, SPY, breaches its 200-day moving average on the downside and fails to bounce back quickly. You can sell a small portion, a large portion, or the whole kit and caboodle. Just be certain to be consistent with your personal discipline for reducing risk. Obviously, decisions based solely on trend lines and moving averages are far from perfect. Nevertheless, they'd have helped you avoid the bulk of the 2000-2002 dot-com collapse, the panicky portion of the 2008-2009 collapse, as well as provide a measure of comfort during the extreme price swings in the 2011 Eurozone crisis. Recognizing that bull markets differ, it is worthwhile to examine this current bull rally in the context of the Federal Reserve and the interest rate interventions. In fact, the last 2 years' worth of gains are primarily attributable to the Fed's ultra-accommodative approach. That is why I looked to several influential ETFs for additional clues. For instance, the Fed's orchestration of the wealth effect with the phenomenal rise in home prices now raises the importance of watching the home builder ETFs. iShares DJ US Home Construction, ticker symbol ITB, is already flashing a warning sign. It is struggling below a trend line. In contrast, Spider Home Builders XHB has been a little bit more resilient. So what you have from the real estate front are some mixed signals. Emerging market ETFs can also be helpful. That's because a number of emerging markets are particularly dependent on foreign capital to help fund their deficits. So if the Fed signals an ongoing plan for reducing its money printing, as opposed to a one-time deal, I would expect WisdomTree India earnings EPI to fall well below its 200-day trend line. Right now, though, EPI's momentum is a sign that cheap money and central bank money printing across the globe is not likely to change too much in 2014. Last, but hardly least, keep an eye on iShares 7 to 10-year Treasury Bond Fund, ticker symbol IEF. A price movement below the September lows would likely correspond with a 10-year yield closing well above the 3% mark. The U.S. stock market is currently pricing in a 10-year between 2.5 and 3.0, not much more. So a 10-year yield north of 3% could prove problematic, at least in the shorter term. If you do not have a plan to sell, if you do not have an approach for avoiding the bulk of a bear market that can maul you by 30%, 40%, even 50%, potentially cutting your portfolio in half, you should give me a ring at 888-500-GARY. That's 888-500-4279. Keep in mind, though, I do not believe a pullback or a correction will turn into the next bear. In fact, I think you should be developing what I call your they may never completely quit QE buy list. Fears that the U.S. Federal Reserve is preparing to slow down its ultra-accommodative easy money policy, also known as quantitative easing or QE for short, has been slamming precious metals and miners lately. Funds like iShares Silver, SLV, ETFs, Physical Precious Metals, GLTR, and Market Vector's Gold Miners, GDX, are experiencing the double whammy of tax loss harvesting and taper tantrum selling. Indeed, more and more investors are beginning to fret that the Fed will reduce its $85 billion per month bond buying program. From my vantage point, the shorter-term speculation will fizzle out. The near-term concern that the Fed may curb its enthusiasm for electronic money creation does not alter the longer-term trend of extremely slow growth across the world's developed economies, Europe, Japan, and yes, the U.S. Expansion in developed regions is extraordinarily fragile. It follows that central banks around the globe are unlikely to tighten the reins in a meaningful manner, because that would risk soaring yields, and soaring yields would adversely affect countries' abilities to pay the interest on massive debts. So what does it all add up to? It means that cheap money via QE is going to be around for many years to come. It also means that any effort to wind down emergency stimulus will be abandoned at the first sign of recessionary struggles. Keep in mind, in every instance over the last 5 years, when the Federal Reserve attempted to curtail a QE program, they started another. It follows that the investment community will continue viewing stock setbacks as opportunities, buying the dips, at least until the day when investors lose confidence in central bank stimulus. So my suggestion, use near-term sell-offs to fill gaps in your current allocation with ETFs that thrive on central bank stimulus bounces. The most recent and best example of this phenomenon is the one that occurred when Bernanke's Fed decided not to put the brakes on its $85 billion per month this past September. The market did have to contend with the government shutdown, but once investors were able to buy the dips on shutdown concerns, stock assets were off to the races. They went 8 or 9 weeks without a down week. Now, ETFs that performed exceptionally well over the previous 10 weeks include iShares DJ Aerospace, ticker symbol ITA, with an 11% 10-week gain. Spider KBW Regional Banking, KRE, 10.2% over the 10 weeks. Spider Pharmaceuticals, XPH, 10.1%. And iShares DJ Transportation, IYT, 7.7%. All of this while the S&P was up roughly 6.25%. Perhaps ironically, a number of relative strength outperformers are the same ones that have been less affected by the possibility of tapering one way or another. These include defensive assets that are less tied to business cycles, such as aerospace and pharmaceuticals. For these sectors, segments that I've recommended throughout 2013, in fact, performance chasers may simply be dressing the windows for December for their clients. Momentum will carry them further, but don't fall in love with any asset. Now, the run-up in transportation stocks, as well as regional banking shares, there you might have a different story. mainly, energy prices have dipped, and the Fed will likely succeed in its quest to keep interest rates in check. Granted, some folks will tell you not to fear the taper because they believe the U.S. economy is close to sustaining itself. I'm not one of those folks. On the contrary, most of the economic growth that we have seen can be directly tied to Fed intervention, and any genuine move away from the rate manipulation would likely stoke recessionary flames. That said, I don't believe our central bank or others around the world are willing to let their economies sink or swim on their own. Essentially, the developed world has decided that it is going to continue printing money electronically. The overall trend higher is likely to remain until the world's investors begin to lose faith in the very notion of QE intervention. So if the Federal Reserve's emergency bond buying policy of the last 5 years, also known as quantitative easing and QE, is the primary driver of stock assets, well then what's next? I think you should anticipate the exceptionally accommodative central bank intervention to continue over the intermediate term, regardless of tapering talk, and understand that it is still likely to favor stock investing over the next 6 months. After all, future Fed chairwoman Janet Yellen is aware that real household income has fallen 4.4% over the course of the current economic recovery since June of 2009. She is aware that wage growth is weak, and she understands that employment well-being has been overstated. So even if Yellen and company reduce the electronic money printing from $85 billion per month down to $75 billion, what is that? Nothing, really. It's not a directional change unless the tapering is consistent and they reduce the number every month down to zero. And that's about as likely as them going down a little and then back up a lot. Right now, ETF advocates should not deviate far from their invested positions. If you're holding what I've been holding throughout the year, funds like iShares Russell 1000, IWB, iShares Small Cap Value, IJS, PowerShares Pharmaceuticals, PJP, First Trust NASDAQ Tech Dividend, TDIV, well, you simply have to make sure that your sell discipline is in place should the tides turn. And as I said earlier, you can keep an eye on the price of your ETF relative to its long-term 200-day moving average. There are some considerations that tax gain harvesters may want to make. If you are sitting on tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of dollars in losses from previous years because you did not have a sell discipline before, energy ETFs now could be worth selling. Why? Well, many of them are showing weakness by slipping below shorter-term moving averages. For example, Spider Oil and Gas Exploration, ticker symbol XOP, has pulled back sharply from mid-October. Locking in a profit does not mean that you will give up on a sector entirely. Continue monitoring the segment. Recognize that you have a variety of ETFs that may capture that very same space. So if you sell XOP to reduce risk and simultaneously harvest the gain, you should track several alternative exploration ETFs during your breather. If energy exploration continues to struggle, you would hold off from making a purchase, but if it manages to reclaim some of that swagger, iShares DJ Oil Exploration, IEO, could easily be acquired. Solar energy also appears toppy. Now, admittedly, I never went near the industry. Nevertheless, if I were sitting on a tax loss carryover, and even if I weren't, I might lock in my remarkable year-to-date profits in a fund like Guggenheim Solar, ticker symbol TAN. The near-term downtrend is evidence enough that I might want to take a break and revisit my premise. If TAN makes it through the current bout of profit-taking, as well as recovers its 50-day moving average, then I could investigate Market Vector Solar, KWT, or another alternative energy fund like PowerShares Wilder Hill Clean Energy, PBW. If so desired, you could buy back in within 30 days with those funds, or after a wash sales period, you could look to return to TAN. Are you terrified that an economic disaster is near? Are you scared to death that you won't be able to protect your investments? And what about when investments inevitably go back up? Will you know what to do? You've been following me since the 90s. Let me show you how I have protected my clients' assets in the bad times and how I can help you grow your investments in the better times. I will manage your investments the way that I manage my own investments, with my time-tested, smart, and balanced approach. Give me a call at 888-500-GARY. That's 888-500-4279. As always, you can follow me on Twitter at ETFExpert or read my daily commentary at www.etfexpert.com.